from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
9-4 in game 2. Sweep.
Should you? Is it not technically right? They swept the doubleheader. Like when I think sweep, I think the series.
Well, they only played 2 so far, so they swept the doubleheader. Yeah.
I'm being very Phelpsian about this.
Are
yes,
you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let me first start with my beef about something from game 1.
Okay.
And I can't even say that it didn't work. But I wonder what it does for you the rest of this series and beyond. And you're off on Thursday. You got the Pirates coming up on Friday. But I wonder what it does. You bring up, the plan is you're bringing up 2 left-handed starters from Columbus. Joey Cantillo and Logan Allen.
And starters, that means guys that normally start the game?
That's what they normally do.
Just double check.
That's what they normally do. Then we catch word yesterday that Nick Sandlin is going to start game one. Okay, it's the theory that some teams, Tampa Bay seems to have invented it. You're going to bring out a relief pitcher and he's going to be your opener.
Okay.
All right, so that's fine. I get that. And so then I'm thinking, all right, great. Maybe you want to not expose Cantillo to the lineup, for more than 3 innings. Go one time through the lineup. Maybe you get 3 innings out of him. He's pitched into the 4th in every start that he's had here and a little beyond that in one of his starts. So, okay. He's had some moments where it was okay. But, he's a starter, Andy. He had relieved one time this year when he was kind of trying to work his way back from injury.
Right.
But then after Sandlin yesterday in game 1, he goes 1 inning because he threw a bunch of pitches. He threw 22 pitches.
Right.
So if he was going to go 2, boom, there goes that idea.
Right.
Then you bring in Eli Morgan. Eli throws 2 innings.
Okay.
Then you bring in Scott Barlow. This is game 1 of a 4-game series against the team that you're ahead of. For a bullpen that's been worked like crazy this year. And, everybody's fear is, oh, boy, we don't want to get those guys out there too often.
Right.
So you're through 5 innings, you've already thrown 3 guys out of your bullpen.
Yep.
Then you bring in Gillespie, who you dispatched after the game, and he went back to Columbus to make room for Logan Allen to start game 2.
Right.
But he went 2 innings, so you lost a bullpen guy there.
Yeah.
Then you bring in Hunter Gaddis.
Ah.
Hunter goes a 1/3 of an inning, gives up a home run to somebody named Witt.
That wasn't very witty.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
And then in the 8th inning of a 1-run game, you bring in the starting pitcher that you brought up from Columbus as your extra man.
Jeff, come on,
and he goes 1 2/3. And he looked good. But so you brought a starting pitcher, and he only went 1 2/3 for you.
Yeah.
When he's stretched out, if you bring him in after Sandlin, maybe he eats up 4? And that gets you into the 6th. You save an arm or 2, maybe?
Well, you got 1 2/3.
If Barlow goes his 2 innings and does well, maybe you bring in Classe?
So what you're saying, they should have used the starter to start the game?
Or maybe as your first guy afterwards. And Andy, He only gave up four runs. So it's not like it didn't completely work. And if you were afraid of exposing Cantillo by having him pitch more than one time through the order, you know, let's assume he has three perfect innings. Would you not bring him back for a fourth? Let's say he has trouble and he gets knocked out in two. Well, that's what happened to Eli Morgan. He had trouble and got knocked out in two.
I have all the
answers. Why didn't you take your chance with Cantillo? Maybe save a couple of bullpen arms because you used six pitchers in game one, got rid of one of them, sent him back to Columbus, Gillespie. And then you used five more pitchers in game two. Mm. You used 11 pitchers yesterday. And only one of them was a starting pitcher.
And you didn't use him as a starter.
Who you would assume would have been your starter, Logan Allen. Logan started game two.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Cantillo. Okay, never mind. Keep going. Sorry.
So in theory, let's throw Cantillo out, okay?
I wasn't going to throw him out.
You used nine bullpens arms yesterday.
Hang on a second.
Doesn't mean you can't come back and use one again today. If you're talking about this bullpen being taxed like crazy and everything else, why did you go a bullpen game in game one of a doubleheader in a four-game series in 3 days? Against the team that's right behind you.
All right, let's ask the general manager.
I don't quite get that. Do you
just
get that?
Ask the general manager. Ready? Beep, 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 beep. Hey, Analytics Dan, help me. Beep, 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 beep. Why'd they do that?
Bite me.
Oh, come on. Brian Anderson tells us every time.
It almost kind of worked.
Brian Anderson tells us every Friday what's going on here. Come on. You want to be mad at Stephen Vogt?
I'm not mad at Stephen Vogt.
Because it sounds like this was entirely planned out, everything they were going to do, and it goes back to, are you watching the game or are you playing Strat-O-Mat? And that's kind of the way it felt yesterday.
Now, it almost kind of worked.
But it didn't.
Well, you gave up only four runs, okay? If you were going, and now here, you used Cantillo in the eighth. By God, he did a great job. He came in, he did a nice job. He didn't give up any hits.
Can someone explain to me why Bobby Witt got a pitch at all?
Well, he was leading off.
I don't care.
He was leading off the eighth inning in a tie game. You don't want to put the go-ahead run on base. And Hunter Gaddis has been terrific this year.
Sorry. You see him? First base. Goodbye. Set up a double play.
You can't walk the leadoff guy in an inning.
When the guy's name is Bobby Witt and he's killing everybody.
You just don't give him anything good to hit.
If you have a feel for the game and you're watching the game and you're seeing what's going on and you're like, it's a tie game. Do we really want... Oh, here's another one. How about Bobby Witt doesn't get a chance to beat us? So if you don't want to put him on, every ball goes in the dirt.
Well, pitch around him.
Okay, well,
maybe throw him nothing but, you know... Pitches you don't think he can hit, which is hard to say for
him. Hit him or put him on first base. Just throw one behind him or something. Throw him on first. Yeah. Why would you throw to this guy? I don't care if it's a tie game. I wouldn't care if the bases will. You get it. First base.
The six pitchers almost.
It cost you the game yesterday.
The six pitchers almost worked. You lost, but you only gave up four runs. I don't want to hear today, well, your bullpen's really worked. I don't want to hear... On Wednesday, if you have to use four or five guys today, well, your bullpen's really been taxed. And it worked with Cantillo because he did a nice job coming in the eighth. But if you were planning to not have him go three or four innings, Andy, or maybe even five, if he was going to be your second pitcher in the game or your third pitcher in the game, or if he was going to start, then why didn't you bring up a relief pitcher instead? If you're going to pitch a starter in relief, why didn't you call up a relief pitcher?
Jeff, it was decided before they even walked out on the field. I'm sure it was decided.
Well, but I don't care who. I'm not even talking about Stephen Vogt here.
I'm not either.
Why didn't
that's
the front office decide? I mean, it kind of worked. I'm a little perplexed.
There's no kind of. It didn't.
Well, they only gave up four runs.
They lost.
The problem is Hunter Gaddis gave up a home run and Eli Morgan gave up a home run. That's the problem. Okay? Those things happen sometimes.
Did they outsmart themselves yesterday?
I don't know. I think we'll find out today and tomorrow whether they outsmarted themselves yesterday. I'm just stunned you win a bullpen game in the opening game of a doubleheader. You know, maybe I'm a moron here. But you brought up a starting pitcher in a doubleheader as your extra guy and then didn't start him or didn't put him in a spot where he could go extended innings and save your bullpen. Does anybody anybody think that yesterday? 216-474-0092. Love to hear from you. When you call those numbers, you'll hear from the guy back from vacation. It's Andrew Hody. Give me a giggity.
Giggity.
Thank you. Does the six-pitcher thing not get you at all?
But the bigger question is why would you start a doubleheader of a four-game series against a team that's breathing down your neck with a bullpen game?
That's my thought. I don't get that.
When you didn't have to, right? Do we agree that they didn't have to do that for game one yesterday?
No.
There was
no reason to.
For some reason, it works better in the nightcap than it does in the first game.
Andy, if you thought Cantillo was going to get shelled in the first or second, then why bring him up? And second of all, if you thought he was going to get shelled in the first or second and you're going to have to take him out, well, you did that anyway with Nick Sandlin because he only went one because he threw 22 pitches. So what difference does it make? Throw the left-handed starter out there, see if he can give you five.
Can we go to Conspiracy Theory Corner for a minute?
Sure.
Beep, 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 beep.
What does that have to do with
the computer?
Conspiracy theory?
All kinds of
conspiracy. Yeah, computers are never involved in conspiracy theories.
Oh, okay. I wish I could do the old fax machine noise.
Give it, Dan. What?
Did Joey Cantillo come out of the bullpen yesterday because that's how they're going to use him in the playoffs?
They're not going to get to the playoffs if they keep doing this.
Thank you.
216-474-0092. Your call's next on Baskin and Phelps.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Still in the bottom of the second, they had the bases loaded. They already got a one run in, and Thomas just watched the third pitch go by. He was looking. I don't know how you can.
Well, he was expecting something else, I'll bet.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't take the third. You can't take that third strike, especially for a team that has been struggling to score runs.
Boy, right? I'm pulling for that guy to get it together like crazy. I don't know him.
It's a tough situation. Like, I mean, just get, you know, if you can just even hit a grounder, you're going to get a run and you're up 2-0.
Hang on a second. Dano's looking fidgety over there.
All right, so that's our cut noise that we are going to use today. We're going to test drive a couple of things.
Can we hear it again?
We're going to test drive a couple of things. I think this is the winner. This is my favorite of them, but we could try some other stuff too if you guys don't like it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, well, let's hear plan B after you give us the
news. What is it?
The Giants are cutting veteran wide receiver Allen Robinson.
He hasn't had a good year in a while.
Yeah, but it's a name most people have heard of. You've probably had him on your fantasy team for a cup of coffee or two. I figure it's something worth noting.
Okay. Interesting. So a veteran available. Sam is in Cleveland. Sam.
Sammy.
What I didn't understand was kind of the lack of urgency yesterday for game one, because if you look over a week ago against that Yankee game, I think for the first time all year, he had Clase pitch two innings, and he did not want to lose that game, which I'm fine. I didn't want to lose that game either. But I'm thinking, you know, it's the biggest series of the year for the Royals, and in game one, you put Thomas in center field, which really isn't his position, which he misplayed a ball, cost him a run, and then he put Freeman at short, who that's not really the position he's been playing all year, and he dropped the fly ball, which cost him three runs. And it's not like you're sacrificing any offense by putting Freeman at short. You sacrifice defense, which basically cost him the game. So I don't know. What did you guys think? As a fan, too, when you play a doubleheader, I just think you just try and go all in to win that game one, especially at home. And I just thought Vogt kind of took his foot off the gas pedal a little bit on game one. The next thing you know, you're getting swept. That was just my thought yesterday.
All right, Sam, thank you very much. The only thing I'd say about that, all right, if you're going to put Lane Thomas in center field, it might not be his position, but hasn't been Daniel Schneeman's position or Tyler Freeman's position. They're middle infielders who have gone out and played center field a little bit. Lane Thomas is an outfielder. He's played center field. Might not be his main spot, but he's probably more of an outfielder than Freeman or Schneeman. Instead, you put Freeman at short. I get it.
Why does it always sound like you're reading a Dr. Seuss book?
Freeman and Schneeman of Beverly Hills?
Yes.
I don't know.
And Thneeds.
The thing that's rough to me, I feel for Lane Thomas like crazy, man. You know that guy's pumped to be here. He showed up. He took the red eye and all that stuff, and he got into town. And it's just not happening for him here. He's now hitting 137. Which is actually up a little bit as a member of the Guardians. Jay's in Cleveland. Hi, Jay.
Hey, fellas. As far as game one, I just want to say I don't think it was the bullpen issue that was an issue why we lost.
No, and Jay, I agree with that because it almost worked. I just wonder, we've been hearing about the bullpen getting so overworked, and then you threw six guys in game one and didn't pitch the guy who came up to be – well, a guy who's been a starter who you brought up until the eighth inning and he only pitched 1 2/3. I don't want to hear about bullpen issues today or tomorrow after you used 11 guys yesterday.
Yeah, true. Very true to that. But yesterday, you know, the Royals scored four runs and stranded five runners on base. The Guardians scored three and stranded 11. So to me, and they've been doing this for the past month, just stranding too many runners on base. And I think the reason is they're home run happy on their swings from 1 through 9 in that lineup.
It doesn't feel like they're chipping away like they did last year, right? Like last year, they knew that they were going to have to chip and, I don't know, give me another word, just get down and dirty to score one run at a time. That they don't do that this year.
Right, and even earlier in the season they were doing that. But, you know, they just started getting home run happy, even Kwan. That's why he's dipping from in his average. He's trying to hit home runs. So, I don't know.
All right, Jay. Thank you very much. You're in a position now. You have a one-game lead.
Doesn't matter. Just go out and play. What are you going to do? Right? I mean, seriously, it doesn't. You can't.
Wow.
They can't. Well, I'm just.
That was
really
depressing. That was stirring.
Well, I mean, like I keep saying, this is like it feels like it's slip sliding away, but there's still plenty of games to be played, and now you've got actual starters. And again, you're right; it's not about what the bullpen did yesterday, but you've got starters going the next couple of days.
And you wonder if you have to get into the bullpen now.
Well,
I mean, you can a guy coming out of the bullpen, but the guys who pitch two are toast today, right? So you're not going to really have Scott Barlow. You're not going to have Eli Morgan.
No, they got to win two. Come back and win the next two, and then there's no harm, no foul for the whole series. So, and then you know you've got them again next week. I think the disappointing thing is they've been playing really well at home, and they dropped two games at home yesterday. So you know you're going to Kansas City next week. You know you've got, Minnesota coming in for four? Not too far away, but maybe a week and a half away. So, I mean, things are – they have to determine whether they think the ship is sinking or not. And they just can't beat themselves. Like, there were just too many opportunities yesterday where you're watching and you're saying, ugh, we just beat ourselves. You know, could they have won? Yeah. But you can't. There's no, like, We don't use money as Band-Aids on this team, right? We're thrift shoppers. So if you're going to be in this situation, you just can't do anything to beat yourself, whether it's pre-assessing from a front office standpoint to tell the manager what he's got to do during the game, to the manager maybe making a mistake. Managers make mistakes. What's your line again from Dick Jacobs that he said?
There are two things that every man thinks he can do better than another man. Number one is grill a steak, and number two is manage a baseball team.
So, okay, I get it, and I think that's all a part of it. But they've got to figure it out themselves. You know, when they won the other day, I was like, okay, well, maybe they're back home. They feel good. They're going to turn this thing around. But they can't self-destruct. They're not in a position to self-destruct because they can't. You know, if you're not going to take runs early and have the opportunity, like we were talking about with the bases loaded and one out, and you take the last pitch, they can't play baseball like that. That's not where they are. You look at the top of the order struggles every once in a while, the bottom of the order, so you're giving away outs throughout this thing. They've got to get every run they possibly can.
They've scored, well, they've lost 8 of their last 11 games. Okay? And in those 11 games, Andy, they have scored more than 4 runs twice. Twice. And it was the 13-5 win over Texas and in the 9-5 win over the Yankees. And then they scored 5 runs in I think that's right. Twice they've scored more than 5 runs.
And what, they're now 2-2?
Twice.
Are they 2-6 against Kansas City now?
This season? I think they were two and four going in.
They're two and six. Kansas City's got their number. It is what it is. They got to change that today.
But this has been such a fun season, and we've talked about this. It's just right now, it's like, what do you do? The offense isn't scoring runs. Yet you still have two utility guys on the roster, Andy, who I don't know that you need both Tyler Freeman and Daniel Schneeman on this team. Nothing against them. They do the same thing for you. They do the same thing. One hits left and one hits right. What do you want to keep going with that? Over the last 30 days, okay? Dare I say this? Gabe Arias is hitting .353 in the last month. They sent him down to figure some things out like they did with Will Brennan. Well, they brought Will right back. Will went down in 31 at-bats, hit .419. Gabe Arias is hitting .353 in the last 19 games. Get him up here. Get him up here. He can play the same positions Tyler Freeman can play. So if you want to have two utility players, bring up the guy who's hitting. Let's see what you get. Over the last 30, Esteban Florial is hitting .304. Once considered a big-time hitting prospect. Now, I will say the .304 is in the rearview mirror a little bit because over the last 15, he's not hitting as well. .200. You want another name?
I know where you're going.
Dust this off. No, I'm not going Miles Straw.
I thought you were
going
to say
I'm going George Valera. He has 6 home runs and 9 runs batted in his last 11 games. He's hot. He was once the top hitting prospect in the organization. Bring him up. Put him in the outfield. You got to score some runs. You have to score some runs.
Straw's hitting significantly better, don't you think? I mean, he was struggling to make the season.
Okay, and Andy?
He's hitting .243.
Put him in center field. Lane Thomas has an option left.
I can tell you I'm not worried about defense.
The Orioles sent Trevor Rogers down, and they just picked him up at the trade deadline. But Lane Thomas's recent history tells you that he should snap out of it. Just how long do you wait? We'll talk more Guardians coming up at noon. Mike Petriello from MLB.com StatCast will join us. Mary Kay Cabot has her finger on the pulse of all of the cuts happening in Berea. She's next on Baskin & Phelps.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.